Hallelujah. Again, we want to thank the worship team. Let's give a clap offering unto the Lord. Thank God for the worship team. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank you so much for coming to church this morning. It's good to see you all. You know, quite a number of our people, some have traveled. Some traveled to Africa. Pastor David and his team went somewhere else. I think it was Mexico. And the Smiths are not here. Quite a number of our people are not here. But we are here. Amen. Pastor Victor, you are not here. Okay, we'll pray for them. Okay, after service. Thank you for that, sir. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. So one of the things that our pastor has been speaking about has been the power in the blood of Jesus and the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And today we just want to do, what we want to do is what the Lord has already started. We just want to call on the name of Jesus. That's what we want to do today, because there is power in that name. There's so much packed in the name of Jesus, and we want to call upon his name and let him appear. You see, the Lord was speaking something to me very early this morning. Sometimes you go to service and the Spirit of God moves, as he did this morning, or you hear a wonderful sermon, or you sing so good and you go away saying, oh, that was wonderful. But then after a while, that kind of wears off and you are back to where you are. Isn't it true? And it's like Elijah, one day he's on Mount Carmel and saying, the God that answered by fire, what happens? Let him be God. And he had victory. But the following day, what was he doing? Running away from Jezebel. So Satan always waits to trap us. But God was showing me that we should go beyond just how wonderful the service was, how wonderful you heard God, how wonderful you praise God. Let something happen inside of you. Let there be a definite encounter with the Lord. You see, Moses, when he was talking to the Lord and he said, God, I want to see your glory. You know what? You remember what happened in the Bible? There was the wind that came, right? And it tore the rocks. Great manifestation. The wind came and tore the rocks. But what? God was not in the wind. Something else happened. Who remembers? Today is a class. All of us are in it. After the wind was what? Anybody? Bab? Earthquake. You remember what an earthquake can do? Really shake. So something shook. Oh, look at the power in that. Was God in it? After that, there was something else. There was fire. There was fire that breezed through. But was God in it? It was the still, small voice that touched him here. And something changed in him. It's wonderful to hear God do great things. It's wonderful to come and see the move of God and the power of God manifested. But if it doesn't go in here, you will go out the same way. It's just a wonderful emotional, oh God, you said this, you did this, oh wonderful. How was your service today? Oh, praise the Lord came down. You meet somebody out there that crosses your car, just runs across you. You forget that the Lord came down. So we want to call upon the name of the Lord and say, come down. We do want your presence. We want that manifestation, but we want a change in here. I want you to encounter me for myself. I want you to do something in my life. So we're calling on the name of Jesus today, and we're going to pray. But I just want to share a few things, and then we'll do that. We're calling on the name of Jesus. Shall we turn our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2? Philippians chapter 2. And if you have your Bible and you want to read along with me, that will be great. Philippians chapter 2. We're talking about the name of Jesus, the power in the name of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 5 and up to verse 11. If you are there, say amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. If you are there, say amen. Let's read. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and done what? And given him what? A name. Say that again. A name. Say that again. A name. What kind of the name? It's above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. At the name of Jesus, every knee. When he says every knee, does it leave out anything? Every knee means every knee, of things in heaven, of things on the earth, and of things under the earth. That means it's all covered. From the highest courts of heaven, where God is seated on the throne, to the lowest cavern in the bottom of the ocean, Jesus is Lord. That's the name that God has given him, because he did the will of God. And it's not an ordinary name. It's a name that is great. You see, a name, the names generally, they carry power. If I come here in the name of Governor Lee and I say, the governor said, come and do this, and you will listen to me. Maybe not me, maybe somebody from his office comes here, or somebody from the court or from the police comes here in that name and say, I have come to do this. There's power. There's authority behind the name. And there's an identity also behind that name. If you come in the name of an emperor or a king, you have to listen. We have to listen to the person. And a name can help to form somebody. It is who you are. It defines you. Sometimes it has a history behind it. In the Bible and in some of our African cultures and in some parts of the world, you don't just give birth to a child and say, oh, this child looks like Lily. And say, you say Lily or Rose. Most times there's a story behind the name. There's something you are aiming at. In the Bible, it was like that. When God changed the name of Abraham to Abraham to Abraham, it was significant. And many of us in Africa, my name has a very special meaning. Keziah means sweet, excellent perfume. And it's from the Bible. Job chapter 42. And I know you haven't smelled the sweetness yet. You are going to smell it. It's coming. Trust me, it's from the Bible. So it will happen one day. I will smell sweet and excellent smell. And then I have another name in my language. Men del moi is from John chapter 10 verse 10, I think, or 27. God is greater than them all. That's my name in my language. It may be that my mother was facing a challenge, or there was something going on. In Africa, when you give a child a name, it means something. And in the Bible, it's like that. Names describe who you are. When God met Moses in the burning bush, remember who he said he was? What did he say was his name? I am. He has a name. I am. And in Exodus 34 verse 6 and 7, I'll just give you some scriptures. In Exodus 34, 6 to 7, the Lord passed before him, that's Moses, and proclaimed the Lord. He proclaimed his name, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. That's a lot to think about. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. He does not overlook iniquity. He does not forget. He visits the sin down to the third generation. But he's also merciful. He's gracious. He's long-suffering. He's abundant. That's his name. And you see, God's name is not just describing what he does. It is him. When the Bible says, give me some of the names of God that you know. Let's go.
Elohim.
Thank you, sir. El Shaddai.
Nisi.
Nisi, you know what they mean, right?
chapter.
Jehovah. What does El Shaddai mean? The God, the all-sufficient one, more than enough. What does El Roy mean? The God that sees. What does Jireh mean? The God that provides. You know it all. Another one, Rapha. What's Rapha? Emmanuel, God with us. Any other name you can remember? I am. Now that I am means whatever the situation is, from that thing we read about, from the highest court of heaven to the lowest cavern, I am. If it is thundering and it's lightning and it's opposition and it's a fight, I am greater than that thing. Whatever you need, I am. If you need healing, I am. If you need protection, I am. If you need me to fight your battle, I am the commander of the chief of heaven's force. Whatever your need is, as long as it's within that area, from the highest court of heaven to the lowest cavern known, whatever you need, I am sufficient. I can answer to that thing. The name of God is not just He does, He provides. No, He is Jireh, provider. He's not just the God that loves you, for God so loved the world. No, God is love. You see, everything that we have talked about comes from who He is, and then He shows in what He does. That's why we need Him to touch us from the I think the Jewish people call it the kish-kish, the right inside of here. Do a walk here, and then it will come out from there. Now, the name of Jesus was given by Angel Gabriel in Matthew 1:21, and I think also in Luke. He says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name," what? Jesus. And in Hebrew, what's that? Yeshua. "For he shall save his people from their sins." That's what the name of Jesus means. Salvation. Salvation is not just, I'm going to hell and God put me in heaven. Salvation is total. If I'm sick, He can save me from sickness. If I'm poor, He can save me from poverty. If I have a challenge, He can save me from that challenge. Salvation is total. It's not just going to heaven. And then it says also in Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23. We all know these scriptures. We are just doing revision. "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." That's what she said, Emmanuel, being God with us. So if God is with me, if my name, if God's name is on me, wherever I go, He's there. Because that's what it means, God with us. There are people in the Bible that God changed their names because their names were not where He was going. Abraham, He changed it to Abraham, father of nations. Sarai, He changed it to what? Sarah. Jacob, what did He change Jacob to? What does Jacob mean? Supplanter. Deceiver. Go check. If you don't know the meaning of your name, go and check it out. Don't just, oh, it's a beautiful name. Go and check it, because something can happen. Names are very powerful. I tell you, I had an uncle. His name means, maybe I've said it here. His name means, where is he running to? That's what the name, where is he running to? Maybe there was a fight in the family and somebody ran out. And they are used to that. I don't know why they gave him that name. But his name was, where is he running to? I tell you, from when I was a child, I knew my uncle. The next time I saw him was on his deathbed. We never saw him, his growing years. He just went away. He lived in the western part of Nigeria and stayed there until he was sick, and they brought him home when he was dying. So the name went with him. Where is he running to? He actually ran away from home until he was about to die. Jacob was a supplanter, and God cannot work with a deceiver, a supplanter, someone that wants to use a human trick. God needed somebody that is a prince, that is working with him. So he changed his name to Israel. You remember the Hebrew boys? What are their names again? We have Bible class, Bible students in this place. We had Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All of them, their names were changed. And then again, Saul was changed to what? To Paul. So if you need to change your name, go and ask the Lord. It's between you and God. Find the meaning of your name or your children. And if you have to redeem it,
only the blood of Jesus. But let's not go about with negative names. Names that have negative connotation. If I say now Hitler, what comes to your mind? Is it a good name? If I say Haman, what comes to your mind? Is it a good name? There are names that are negative. And you know what the Bible says in Proverbs 2:12? It says, Proverbs 21:2, it says, a good name is better than great riches. A good name. And the good name is not just from your reputation or your being good, but the name of the Lord that you carry. Let it be the name of Jesus that is over you. Jesus' name is pure, stainless, holy Son of God, righteous Son of God. Never did anything, no blood, no dot, no blemish. He was sinless, and he has given us that name. He says, go therefore in my name. And when we bear that name, we have to line up to who he is. The Lord will help us. Amen. So the name of Jesus means it denotes power. There's authority, like we read in Philippians 2. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. Just a few scriptures. Acts 4 verse 12. It says salvation is in no other name. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. No other name. No other name. No religion has claimed this. The people will tell you there are many ways to get to God, but Jesus says there is no other name. That's what the Bible says. So we should be unapologetic in saying this is the way. Walk thou in it. Any other way is wrong. And then we've talked about I am. It can be divine healing that you need. It can be miracles or blessings. Whatever you need, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous do what? They run to it and they are saved. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. When the rain is beating you out there and you run into this building, are you still out under the rain? You are covered. So when Satan is harassing you, when sickness is harassing you, when poverty is harassing you, when challenges of life are harassing you, whatever is harassing you, sometimes it comes from you yourself. The devil tells you, you are nobody. We are going to talk about that soon. And when those things come, use the name of Jesus. Amen. In John 14:13, it says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever we ask. But you have to be in alignment with God, you know. I know in back in Nigeria, there was a time they took armed robbers to the firing squad. Who remembers that? They killed armed robbers. They put them on a firing squad and shot them. And sometimes, as they are going there, they are saying, we're praying when we're going to do this robbery. And that's why we're successful. We're praying. We're asking God for success. And sometimes we are praying wrong prayers in wrong places. You are doing the wrong thing. And you are saying, Jesus, be careful that you don't call a curse on yourself. Because you cannot be different from what he's saying. Be this and you are that and you think it works. He says, whatever you ask in my name, as long as you are in sync with him, he will give it to you. That the Son may be glorified in the Father. Whether it's deliverance or protection or covering or provision. Even making disciples. He says, go and make disciples. How? In my name. Everything we do has to be in the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 10 verse 17. The 70 that Jesus sent went out. They came back and they came back with joy. Saying, the Lord, even the devils are subject to us in thy name. Satan has to bow at the mention of the name of Jesus. That name is held in high honor. Acts 19:17. I don't know if you've ever had this experience. I have had it where something will just come against you. Maybe sometimes it's at night, you are sleeping and you feel a presence. Sometimes all you need to say is Jesus. I don't know if you've had that. I've had it. You call on the name of Jesus when there's that opposition. There was a time I was traveling. I was young in my early 20s, maybe 20, 23, I think it was. And suddenly, there was a man in front, another man in front, my cousin behind and me behind. We're driving at night, going back home. Suddenly, I felt the urge to pray. And it felt so funny because we're all talking and laughing. But I felt the urge to pray. And I started to pray. And as I was praying, I was saying, Lord, this is so strange. These people are going to think I'm one religious freak because we're coming from an event. But I began to pray. I began to pray. I began to call upon the name of the Lord. I didn't know why. And if you can speak in tongues when you don't know what to pray, that is when you pray. I began to pray in the spirit. Next thing I knew, this car was somersaulting. It was somersaulting. And my head was still bowed down. It was somersaulting until it got off the road into the bush. And the villagers ran out. It was crumbled. And they are like, nobody can come out of this car. This car, everybody must be dead. And we're shouting inside, get us out. They say, oh, they are alive. Get us out. And they broke the glasses and took us. All of us came out, not a scratch. Not a scratch. And the people who were not believers, the men in the car were saying, you were praying. How did you know to pray? I said, I don't know. I just felt an urge to pray. There's this song that says, take the name of Jesus with you. Child of sorrow and of woe, it will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy. I'm telling you, if you make it a habit to let the name of Jesus come out of your mouth in praise, in worship, in your job, whatever you are doing during the day, you whisper the name of Jesus. It changes the environment. It changes your situation. It changes you. The name of Jesus has been given as a gift. Take the name of Jesus with you. Let's not get so familiar that it becomes ordinary to us. Every knee has to bow. In fact, in Colossians 3:17, it says, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. Whatever. So whether you are eating, do it in the name of the Lord. When you are about to sleep, do it in the name of the Lord. It's Bible. I'm not the one saying it. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord. So far, what we talked about is what the name of Jesus does. What is the meaning of the name of Jesus and how the name of Jesus came? It was given at birth. But that name it's like giving you a gift and you just keep it there and you don't use it. When we got married many years ago now, praise God, it's 9 years almost, people gave us cards and things and we traveled because we did a lot of traveling at first, and so we left those things. We opened as much as we can, but I didn't realize that there were still some that were not open. So even last year and 2 years ago, I just opened somewhere and I saw cards that were sealed. I'm like, what? People gave us cards and we didn't open it? And I started to rip open those cards. Some had $100. They had money. And I was so grateful, but I felt bad that we didn't say thank you. And so these people might think maybe it didn't mean anything to us. But I just never opened it. If you don't use that name of Jesus, it will just be there. We'll just talk about it. But God wants us to use the name of Jesus. Amen? Use it. Believe in it. It's the name that is above every other name. And we have to appropriate the power in the name of Jesus. Take the name of Jesus with you. If you know that song, sing it with me. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then wherever you go. Precious name, oh how sweet, sing it together. Oh how, hope of earth and joy of heaven, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus with you. Let's see somebody that acted on that and it worked for him. We know the story of Bartimaeus, right?
Blind Bartimaeus, we call him. The man that called on the name of Jesus. And what that name did in his life. The name of Jesus. Who remembers the story of Bartimaeus? And where he was? Yes. Oh, just Dr. Busola. In the whole church, nobody remembered the story of... Okay, two more people are remembering the story of Bartimaeus. I don't see where I wrote the scripture here, which is sad. Bartimaeus. The story of Bartimaeus. I'm looking for where I wrote the scripture. If you see it before me, tell me. Hallelujah. I think it's in the book of John. The story of Bartimaeus. He was blind. He was hopeless. He was alone. Thank you. Ah, Timmy, you are not leaving again. You stay here. Mark chapter 10. We are holding your leg until you bring all the scriptures out. Amen. Mark chapter 10. I wrote it and I wrote it out. Amen. The story of the blind man and what the name of Jesus did to him. How that name saved him. How that name delivered him. How that name rescued him. Hallelujah. The story of the blind man. Hallelujah. Let's read. It's in Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. And we're all going to read it together. So if you have your Bible, let's read it. Oh, it's up there. Thank you. Ah, media team, you are the best. Mark chapter 10, let's read from verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. You see, it was a different season. This man had been sitting there begging all his life. And his expectation was, I'm going to beg for the rest of my life. People will have to come and give to me because I'm blind. I can't see. I can't walk. I can't do anything. People, I'll have to depend on people for the rest of my life. Maybe he had to feel his way. Get a mental picture. Feel his way to get there. And then he sits there. And when he hears, because he doesn't see, he has to hear somebody passing by. And he begins to ask, give me. He will be begging. That happened to him all his life, but there was a day that came. The same thing happened to the blind man, the lame man in Acts chapter 3. Even when Jesus was on the earth, he was going to the temple, you know. And he passed that lame man there every day. He didn't touch him. He didn't heal him. Jesus healed many. But that lame man, he didn't heal him. Because he was waiting for a particular day. He was waiting for a season. He was going to use him to announce that the power that I have is also in my disciples. Because when they came, they said, why are you people looking at us as if by ourselves we did this? It's the power in the name of Jesus that did this. So he was waiting for a witness. There are seasons. The season that we are in right now is very serious. But it's a good season. Because the Bible says, as sin increases, what increases? Grace.
Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. He says, arise and shine, for your light has come. For what? The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. This is on this side. But the other side, what does he say? Darkness, gross darkness, has risen over the earth. Are we not seeing that? Darkness, gross darkness. We were talking about our children the other day. Our children lack social skills. Our children don't know how to react when something happens to them. They just hit out because they grew up cell phone, television, games. What's that thing? Video games. That's all we saturate our children with. When we were growing up, some of us grew up in the village. You people are very, thank God for you. You grew up, but you still played, right? You still went to your neighbors, right? You still ate together, right? We were in the village, and they told us stories of the hare, the tortoise, the every animal. They had a story for everything. This one happened, but at the end of the story is a moral. And they ask you, what does that mean? And we are communicating with this. Somebody will say, I don't like the turtles. Oh, yeah, they call it turtle. I don't like him. I like the story of the hare. No, I like the goat. No. So we are communicating. But here, you can stay for 3 days on your phone. You don't need anybody. We lack social skills and social interaction. It's a new season. But Jesus is moving. He's active. He's doing miracles. But we are missing it because we are hearing about the darkness. He's moving, and do not let him pass you by. Bartimaeus could have allowed him to pass him by, but he did not. Bartimaeus heard. He heard that Jesus was passing by. Today, I want to announce to you, Jesus is here from the time we started the service. You saw how God came down. It wasn't our singing. It wasn't our prayer. He just came because he said, when two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in their midst. And there's an open heaven in this place. When we just come, he comes. So he's here right now. He's here to meet your need, to set the captives free. Jesus is here right now. And so Bartimaeus heard that Jesus is here. He's passing by. But he was challenged. You have to carry him. He could not see. He was limited. Others are running around. He could not. What is it in your life that looks like everybody else has it all together? And you know, Satan is very good at telling you your case is different. Actually, your case is worse than every other person. You do not have this. I've told you people my story before, that somebody told me, I don't know how to pray for you. You have too many needs in your life. Where do I start from? Satan will tell you that. This situation that is facing you in your family, it's big. It will never go away. Or he will tell you, you can never overcome this. You will never be better than this. That's the lie of the enemy. Bartimaeus could have heard, well, I was born blind. I'm supposed to sit here and just beg. But he didn't listen to that. When he heard that Jesus was calling, he began to call upon the name of the Lord. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. They are like, shut up. You see, that's what the world wants to do. You see, sometimes people have their own insecurities and their problems, and they want, if they make you quiet, then they feel they are somebody. People will shut you down. People will do all kinds of things against you just to squeeze you into the mold that they have. But it's not people, it's Satan. Nobody will come at you for no reason. It's the devil. If you begin to look at, oh, I wonder if Janice likes me. Ah, no, it was Sandy that likes me. You know, she always hugs me. It's not people. It's Satan behind it. And they could have silenced Bartimaeus. They say, shut up. Look at you, blind man. You have no voice. Sit down. Don't say anything. But blind Bartimaeus remembered who he was. And he said, it's time. I can't miss this time. Somebody, do not miss your time today. Do not miss your time in this season. As the Lord is passing by, remember who you are. Because what Bartimaeus, the invocation he made was Jesus. He called on his name, but he said, thou Son of David. He remembered, I'm a covenanted person. I'm part of David's covenant. Thou Son of David. So he brought himself in. If you are here, you are born again, you are a child of God. Whatever, you are an heir with Jesus. Whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to you. And you have to come into covenant, because Satan will try to silence you. You want to start praying every morning and you've been struggling. Satan doesn't want you to pray. And sometimes you give up and you say, I've tried. I've really tried. Or you want to talk less. Or you want, whatever it is you want to do, Satan will fight you. But don't give up. Amen? This man kept crying. He kept crying. Do you know what the word says? Because he invoked the terms of the covenant. Thou son of David. If you don't read the Bible, how will you know what the Bible says concerning your case? You have to dwell on the word of God. What does the Bible say about you? I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar person. But the devil doesn't want you to believe that. The world, challenges of life want to put you down. Are you able to rise up? Do you know what the Bible says about the times that we are in? That when we see these things begin to happen, we should lift up our heads, because our salvation is drawing near. It's not the time to go in fear. Do you know what the Bible says that God can do? He says, every knee will bow. Do you know about that God really wants to bless you, to save you, to deliver you, to change your situation? He wanted to change Bartimaeus' situation. But if Bartimaeus didn't hold him, he would have passed by. The same thing with the two disciples that were on the road to Emmaus. You know the story. Jesus had just died. It's Luke chapter 24. And they were like, but we thought he was going to save us. Now he's dead. Our hope has been in vain. Look, what do we do? But when Jesus came near, they knew he was near. They didn't know who he was, but they took advantage of that. They saw he was explaining things to them. Please don't let Jesus pass you by. Please, if you sense the presence of the Lord as has been here this morning, don't go out the way you came. Let God do something in your life. And those two disciples, when they heard and their eyes opened, he says that they constrained him to stay. He was going to pass on, but they held him until he stayed. You need to take a hold of God. You need to plead with the Lord. This is my matter. I'm not going to stay here forever. I'm not going to stay defeated. This America that I'm seeing this way with all the confusion going, not on my watch. I will cry out. I'll pray for America. I will cry out for this land. I'll cry out for Tennessee and for Cleveland. Move around Tennessee. Move around Cleveland. Everywhere you go, they are building. Everywhere you go, I say, where are these people coming from? And where are they anyway? Why don't we see them? Where do we see? When you go to the bank, you don't see anybody, you know. We do drive-through. No social interaction. In churches, we've gone to many churches. They are this size. They are full today. They are not full. There are bigger churches in Cleveland, of course, but I'm talking about the generality. So where are those people? They are on their beds right now. But God is calling us. It's a new season. And you have to know who you are. There are people that you have to reach. You have to touch. There, God is waiting for you. God is waiting for Bartimaeus to be healed so that he will follow Jesus. You think when he follows Jesus, he's just doing a play? No, whatever is being done, he's part of it. We are following Jesus. God needs us to deliver and to change situations, but we have to call on his name. How do people see you? Think of that for a minute. How do people describe you? I'm not talking about those that want to tear you down. I'm talking about people that mean well for you. Do they see you as a child of God? Do they see you as somebody that is dependable and reliable? Or do they define you? Blind Bartimaeus. They didn't just call him Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus. Son of Timaeus. His only identity is, I'm blind. And then I'm the son of somebody. He has no son. Nobody knows his name. We don't know his name. Apart from, you know what Bartimaeus means? Bar in Hebrew is son. So the son of Timaeus. The woman is Bat. The man is Ba. That's a daughter. Bartimaeus, son. So till today, we don't know what his name was. We just know he's the son of Timaeus. The devil wants to rip your identity and let you be known as somebody that he, something that he has created out of his fantasy and let people see you only that way. But there's more in there. Let that come out as you call upon the name of the Lord. He didn't stay blind. He didn't stay as only the son of Timaeus. He didn't stay as somebody that was lonely and dependent on others to pick him up. He rose up. Bartimaeus. How did he rise up? He cried out. He cried out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy upon me." And the Lord answered that prayer. Jesus stopped. And he said, "Bring him." Those same people that were saying, "Shut up." What did they say now? "Come, he's calling you." You know, there's a song they sing in Nigeria. When the going is good, very, very many people will be your friends. But when the going is bad, nobody wants you. Have you seen people in authority? My former MD back home, when I used to work for a company back home in Nigeria, when he was the managing director at Christmas time, oh my goodness, gifts flooded his house. We call them hampers, gift baskets. There were so many that they didn't have where to keep them. Him and his wife, they loved me. They wanted to name their child Keziah because they loved me so much. But they said, "Okay, we don't want too many Keziahs around." So they named their daughter Jemima. Jemima and Keziah come from the same scripture. So I was somebody that went to their house. Immediately after the man was taken off that position, I went to visit him in his house. Not even one gift basket. Not one. Not one. Nobody remembered. People will remember you when you are up there. When you have challenges, that's when you know who your real friends are. And here he was. God redeemed him. And he came out of the place where he was. He was no longer the beggar. He was a follower of Jesus. Mephibosheth was like that, the son of David. He had a covenant with Jonathan. They were children of covenant. But he was lame in his legs. And he was staying somewhere where there was nothing. Until David looked for him and David called him. And he came and sat at the king's table. What has the enemy stripped you of? What lie have you believed? That I can only get this far, I cannot get farther. Are we listening more to the lies of the enemy than the voice of the Lord? That story that we read, that we talked about, Moses on the mountain, the thunder was loud, the earthquake was loud, the fire was visible, but God was in the still small voice. What are you listening to? Whose voice do you believe? The voice of the enemy or the voice of your situation that tells you this challenge has been there for so long, the man who has been there for long, you can't get over this? Is that what you are listening to? Or the one that tells you, "He's too high, he won't listen to you, you are just a blind man. This situation is so tough, nothing can change in this situation." I'm telling you, as long as that thing is from the highest courts of heaven to the lowest coven, as long as it's in the realm that human beings are, and angels and the devil, Jesus has a name that is above that name. And it's above that situation. So we are going to call upon the name of the Lord. But you have to position yourself. It's not just in too much speaking. Positioning yourself. You know, Pastor taught us about that. He talked about three things. Who remembers at the beginning of the year? Number one, preparation. Number two, Pastor Faith, you were really at church. And number three was what? Promotion. You have to prepare yourself. If he was not out there, he wouldn't even have heard that Jesus was passing by. Be in the flow. Be in what God is doing. Don't let the things of this world bury you. And you don't care. You just show up when you show up. You just do your thing. When the things of God are serious, the times are serious. Be in the flow with the word of God and what God is doing. Preparation. And then secondly, position. Know who you are. What's your identity? Who am I? What's your name? What name has God given to you? Take that name of Jesus with you. And that name of Jesus will help you. And that name of Jesus will deliver you. And therefore you stand and say, "I am a child of God. I know who God says I am." Seek his presence. Please, more than ever before, may the Lord help us
to seek him and to prepare for his return. I think it was Oscar that was speaking to us this morning, and I think one of the last things he said was the coming of Jesus is very near. And it is very near. Even if it's not that he comes down, the trumpet will sound or you will go. Either way, you will meet with the Lord. So prepare yourself. Let's be ready for his return. And he says in Luke chapter 3, let's turn there. The book of Luke chapter 3. We're almost coming to the end. Not going to keep you long. The book of Luke chapter 3. And we read from verse 4 to verse 6. Luke chapter 3, verse 4 to 6. If you are there, say amen. One amen. If you are there, say amen. Okay. Luke chapter 3 and verse 4. Oh, we have it there. Okay. Let's read it together. As it is written, I want to hear your voice, please. Let's go again. As the prophet saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. That last bit, the salvation of God. Who did we say is the salvation of God? Jesus. Every eye will see him. And our eyes can see him today, high and lifted up and seated on the throne. You can see him for yourself and not wait for that last day alone to see him. You can behold him. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Behold him, his salvation. Every eye. And he says, all flesh, including animals and beasts, everyone shall see the salvation of the Lord. But before then, something has to happen. You and I talks, he says, we are the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Do what? Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. On your own, how are you preparing for the way of the Lord? How are you making the path straight on your own? Are you joining with what should not be preparation for the way of the Lord? Don't be part of that that is wrong. Join with that is right. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. He says every valley. That means that thing that is down, down, down. Even your spirit, every depression, every sorrow, every pain, everything. He says you will be filled. It will be filled. It will come up. And every mountain, that opposition of the enemy, every hill, everything that stands against you, he says it shall come down. And he says the crooked path, those things that are not straight, you think of your life and you are happy, you know, I have a good job, I have a good home, I have a good car, I have good family, oh, I have this and that. But there's one thing you remember, that is a but, it's crooked. The line is not straight. It's not everything. But it says that everything that is a but, that is a problem, that in your story, you know, there are some testimonies. Sometimes you want to edit some parts of the testimony because it doesn't sound too good. No, God wants everything to be lined up. The crooked paths shall be made straight. And he says the rough ways. Now that's where it's tough. Because the roughness is that sandpaper, you know, that rubs you. There are situations that will rub you the wrong way. There are people that will rub you the wrong way. There are things in life that will rub you the wrong way. He says they will be smoothened. They will all be smoothened. We can believe God today and say, Lord, whatever it is that concerns me as an individual, concerns us as people, concerns Mount Zion, the Church of Jesus all over this city and in America, Tennessee. We just finished a month of repentance in Tennessee. We should begin to see God moving so that it's not just, oh, we fasted and we prayed. You saw the earthquake, you saw the rain. But then did you see God? We want to see God manifested. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord.
So Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, was blind. He was a beggar. He was a dependent. He was poor. He could not function like others. What is your own blindness? May the Lord remove it today in the name of Jesus. When others are telling you to shut up, you are not fit, you are not it. This is wrong with you. That's wrong with you. You are blind. You cannot help yourself.
Do you shut up and listen to the lies of the devil? What lies is Satan telling you today? What is he whispering to your ear about that your family member that he says this one is too difficult, forget them? You know, there are some family members that when you meet once a year, you watch what you say and you watch how you sit if you meet at family reunions, because you don't want to be with them all the time. Those ones, that uncle, that particular uncle that everyone is afraid of. I pray that God will help us to know how to respond to people. And they are saying there is no help for you in God. They are telling him this situation will never be changed. Bartimaeus, you'll be blind for the rest of your life. Psalm 3. The psalmist says, "Oh Lord, many are my foes. Many rise against me. They say, where is your God? They say, God will not deliver you. But you, O God, you are a shield for me, my glory and the lifter of my head." Whatever Satan is saying, please, let's not look at people. No, nobody is a Satan. Satan is Satan. We are people. It's the devil that is working in situations, on the job, in the business, even in the church. Even in the church. Even in the body of Christ. What are those things? Let it not be a human being. God, you are a shield for me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are saved. There's a day of remembrance. There was a day when Jesus passed that way and he saw Bartimaeus. Let this be your day of remembrance. God, Jesus is passing this way and he's making situations line up. You see, Ahasuerus, the husband of Esther, could not sleep for no reason. Because Esther and Mordecai needed to be announced. So God made it impossible for him to sleep. God will set things in order for you. God will cause the laws of the land to change for your sake. God will cause situations to change because of you. If they are saying, if you don't have this, you cannot be this, you will not do that, you will not go here. God can change all that. You are believing God for a job. You are believing God for a husband. And they are telling you, oh, just forget about it. Or whatever. You are believing God for a wife. None of them. Whatever you are believing God for. And they are saying it can never happen. It will happen. Because God is faithful. Set your heart on Jesus. Set your sights on Jesus. Call upon the name of the Lord. Hold on to the Lord. Hold on to the Lord. And let God prove that he is God. And man is man. And devil is devil. Devil cannot win. Don't miss your opportunity. Cry out. Call the attention of heaven. No matter what the situation is telling you, it's hopeless. No matter what people are telling you, it's hopeless. I matter to God. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. You said you have loved me with an everlasting love. You say, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. I belong to you. I'm not my own. You bought me with a price. And you say, you know the plans that you have for me, plans of good and not of evil, to give me a future and a hope. But Satan also has a plan. But remember, arise and shine. The light has come. The glory of the Lord is rising on this side. But darkness is rising on that side. And gross darkness. But who is going to win in the end? He's already salvation. He's a winner. The Genesis to Revelation, he's winner. He has never lost a fight, never lost a battle, never lost a war. He will always win. There was a woman in the Bible. Jesus said, this daughter of Zion that Satan has bound for 18 years. It doesn't matter how long that situation is.
Oh, let the Lord take the limitation of that situation today. Oh, let the Lord bring salvation to you, which is what Jesus. Have you been bound in any way? Has it been in your family? Your father's father was like that. Your mother's mother was like that. And it's coming down the generation.
This is the time to break it. And say, whatever happened in the past is not for me. I have a new DNA. I have the blood of Jesus. Are you impoverished by the enemy? Do you smell to others? You know how you smell to others? When you come into a place, you haven't said anything. You have not done anything. And people just, You have not done anything good or bad. Satan puts a smell that you are abhorrent. You are detestable. But we want to attract the he says we should be the aroma that goes out from God. May the Lord put that aroma on you today in the name of Jesus. Everything that has made you to stink and smell before others, may the Lord break it today and let there be a sweet smell, a sweet smelling flavor coming forth from you today in the name of Jesus. Is there a challenge that has seemed impossible today? May the Lord turn it around in the name of Jesus. Every limitation, every enslavement, every bondage, everything that Satan has thrown at you, today is a day to call upon the name of the Lord. Let there be open doors. Let there be freedom. Let there be salvation. Be who God has made you to be. Jesus is passing this way. And the only way we can access this is to say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And he says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and the people of God shall possess their possessions. What does God want you to do in Mount Zion? We are in Mount Zion today, and the Lord will help us. So if you don't have anything that you need to pray about today, I want us to rise up. We are going to pray. If it's not for you, let God bring a family member to your mind. Let God bring a church member to your mind. Let God bring a friend that is going through something. He's so sick. They've said this will happen. You have so. This one is going on in your body. Let's call upon the name of the Lord together. And let the Lord have mercy today. As we cry out, I want us to sing one simple song. And then we are going to begin to pray. Abby, do you have that song? It's a common song, we know it. It says his name is wonderful. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. His name is wonderful. The wonderful means he's superb. He's divine, he's awesome, he's glorious, he's mind-blowing. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty God. Mighty means big, powerful, authoritative, fearsome. He's the ruler, master over everything, ruler and monarch. His name is wonderful. He's the great shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He steers us. He leads us. He guides us. He's the rock of all ages. Unmovable, uncheckable. The backbone, the cornerstone. The Almighty God is He. He's all powerful and supreme. Please rise with me as we sing that song. And please sing. Don't see anybody around you. Sing it between you and God. Let it be you calling upon the name of the Lord. That is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Sing it from your heart. And as you sing it, let the Lord begin to move. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before
love and adore him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my.
Let's begin to call upon that name. Call upon that name for yourself. Call upon the name of Jesus. This is the time not to be silent. Bartimaeus didn't keep quiet. He opened his mouth and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Call upon the name of the Lord. Let the Lord come to your aid. Let the Lord make you what he has created you to be. May you run at your maximum, at the greatest that God has created you to be. What is the limitation? What is the devil holding you and pulling you down, and you have accepted that I'm going to be like this. This situation is going to be like this. This is what they have said I am. I cannot go beyond this. Today, Jesus is passing this way. Let the name of the Lord be a strong tower. Run into the name of Jesus today. He says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Begin to call upon the name of Jesus. Say, Jesus, thou son of David, thou master of creation, the rock of all ages, almighty God, you are all powerful, you are sovereign, you are supreme. Come to my aid, come to my aid, come to my rescue. Jesus, you are the great one, you are the great one. And I call upon your name today and I say, you are the master over everything. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you want to be like blind Bartimaeus and you don't want to be silent today, you can come out to this place. Let's pray together. If you want to say today, Lord, remember that my brother, remember that my son, remember that illness, remember that lack, remember that need, remember my being, what I'm holding on to. If you want to call upon the name of the Lord today and you want to say, Jesus, help me, come out here. Let's pray together. Let's stand together and let's cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Is there something that is too big for you? A mountain that is too high, a valley that is too low, or you want to come out on behalf of somebody and say, God, that thing they diagnosed my sister with, I'm not agreeing, I'm not taking it. We are calling upon the name of the Lord. We are saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Cry out, cry out, cry out, cry out, cry out, and let him hear you this morning from the bottom of your heart. Are you believing God for something? Believing God for a job? Believing God for your child? Believing God for money? Believing God for education? Believing God for a breakthrough? Believing God to fight for you? Whatever that thing is. Oh, Jesus, begin to call upon his name. All you need is to breathe out, Jesus, 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 thou son of David, have mercy on me. Do not look upon me. I deserve nothing, but I'm crying out, Jesus, 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 thou son of David, have mercy upon me. In the name of Jesus. So all of us are going to pray together. Those out here and go and behind, just let's agree together. Pray with me. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I come to you. Me, Keziah, call your name. Me, Keziah. I say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Reach out your hand. Stop, Lord Jesus. Take note of me. Answer my cry. That need in my life, that challenge in my life, that situation in my life, where they have said, be quiet. I call upon your name. I call upon your name. I call upon your name. Let heaven open over me. Let heaven open over me. Do the miraculous. Blind eyes open. Dead ears open. Dead bodies come alive. Sick bodies come alive. Every poverty give way. In the name of Jesus. I have called upon your name. And you have answered me. In the name of Jesus. Say again. Every covenant and every agreement over my life that comes from heaven, I reinvoke that covenant today. I say I'm a child of covenant. My covenant is with Jesus. I will live, I will not die. It shall be well with me. Great plans you have for me, and I call them forth. I call doors to open in the name of Jesus. But every covenant and every agreement made by me, made by my family, made by somebody else on my behalf with the devil, with Satan, today I break that covenant. I reject that covenant. I break every curse of the devil over my life. Say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. In the name of Jesus, I divorce you. I denounce you. I refuse you. I reject you. I break your hold over my life, over my family, over Mount Zion, over Tennessee, over America, over the nations. I break the power of Satan, even in Burundi today, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you, for you have heard me. You say I should call upon you, and you will answer me, and show me great and mighty things that I know not. Today, I will see great and mighty things, in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you. We've only spoken that we see in the Bible. Please hear us, O God. Answer by fire. If anyone came here with a heavy heart, and there are challenges in our lives and in our families, in our bodies, in our hands, Father, today answer by fire. Answer by fire. Answer by fire. Do a work in our lives in the name of Jesus. So bless your people. Let the name of Jesus go with us. It will joy and comfort give us. We take the name of Jesus with us. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Let's take our communion and seal this prayer with the word of the Lord. Take up your communion elements as we pray together. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Almighty. Take your communion. And I'm going to ask Pastor Wola to please come and pray over the bread. And Pastor Faith, you come and pray over the wine. And I'm going to read the scripture as he prays. This is John chapter 6, verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and as I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Pastor Wola, sir.
Father, we thank you for your blood. We thank you for your body that was broken for us. We thank you for the stripes laid on your body for our healing. Even as we take this piece of bread that represents your body, we do it in remembrance of the fact that you died on the cross to deliver us, to save us, to give us healing in the body, and to prepare our body even to live with you eternally. As we partake of this right now, eternal rock of ages, we invoke scripture that has been read. Amen. That our body is healed.
Amen.
That we have a new DNA.
Amen.
That no sickness rests in his body because of the body of Jesus that was broken for us.
Amen.
And we thank you.
Thank you.
We give you all the glory.
Yes, Lord.
We give you all the praise.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Please take the body.
Amen.
And so, Father, we thank you as we lift up this blood the blood of the New Testament, the blood of the New Covenant, the blood that sealed us into the new promise of your God, of your kingdom, the blood that speaks better things than the blood of Abel, the blood that flowed from Emmanuel's veil, the blood that gave us hope and life, the blood that cleansed us from all sin and made us whole. Father, we thank you for this blood, the new sacrament of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as we partake in this blood, Father, it will flow into all our veins and arteries. It will flow into all our marrows, so God. It will bring healing to our soul. It will bring healing to our spirit. It will bring healing to our body. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, this blood, O God, shall stand, O God, as a testimony that we are the partakers of the sacrament that Jesus established by his own blood. Fathers, we take in remembrance of what Christ have accomplished on the cross of Calvary, we continue to dwell and to be that which have made us to be, in the mighty name of Jesus, as we drink, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.